Oh, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, another episode of Bob After Dark. If you're listening, it probably doesn't sound that far off. But if you're watching, you're probably wondering what's going on. Bob is on Zoom. I'm here in the studio. I got my cape on. I got my Polish. I'm a Polish vampire, I guess. I got my Stosh, Byway Stosh shirt on. So we're good to go, Bob. The Byway Babushka Brigade is in full effect. But yeah, if you're on Zoom, Bob, how you feeling?
I am great. I had made a decision today with something that did not agree with my stomach.
Yeah.
I'm still learning how my stomach's going to react to certain things after my gallbladder surgery. And, I will spare you guys the details, but I had to come back home right before the show, and, Count and I are good. We still have the show for you. I'm just not there because it just didn't work out tonight. However, we weren't going to cancel the show by any means.
I wonder if I could find a photo of you real quick and display it on the screen.
Yeah, you want to just put a photo up of me? Well, I mean, I'll turn it on. It's really bad, man.
Well, I mean, are you in the dark?
No, it's too bright. Now it looks like I'm like radiating.
Oh, come heat on. You got to see the folks a little tease of what that looks like.
Oh, my word.
This is the content we strive for on the Jet TV, if you're watching on the Jet TV. You have to keep
there
it
that's what you guys get, man. I look like, hold on, let me fix my all hair right a little bit. There you go. I am glowing.
Also, shout out to Chuck Pullen, who helped me with that Zoom earlier. Zoom,
thanks,
has changed.
Chuck, we appreciate
Zoom
you
has changed a little bit since I last saw it, so Chuck was able to get me you know, I'm like a boomer when it comes to Zoom, Bob. I feel like I haven't used it in such a long time, Bob.
I'm right there with you, man. You have no idea.
Yeah, so I don't know, but yeah, if you got time to show us your radiation.
I should be good now. Let's see. Hold on, let me turn on my video. This is gonna be terrifying. Oh no, I'm just in the dark. Oh dear Lord.
There it goes. Now it's kind of like a campfire.
It was like a campfire. Yeah. Now I look like I'm radiating like energy.
You got a lot of cool badges back there though, so I don't know.
Well, those are my patches. Here, we'll just do this tonight.
That's
you guys
spooky.
Get
I
like
that.
Halloween spooky, yeah. Bob.
All right, that's better than the logo.
But instead of the camera facing the desk, it should face you.
So yeah, because
the people at home can't see me, can they?
No, they could see you.
Oh, okay.
If
so you guys can just pay attention to me.
And when I cut to myself, they could see me. But your view, you're looking at the studio shot, which I don't have, but. If you could see that, Bob, the desk has been moved to the corner, so you would be sitting in the corner right now. Nobody puts Bob in the corner, but they did. They would have put you in the corner tonight, but that's your
It's rough, man. Yeah. It's all good, guys. So anyway, welcome to Bob After Dark. We talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptids, and of course, Count Panic's favorite non-cartoon Halloween special.
Non-cartoon Halloween special.
Yeah,
Bob.
So well, I have like mine special, in my right? head. Let's
not
see
like a
if
movie,
you're
a special, like a Halloween special.
Like a TV show that does a Halloween special.
Yeah, Halloween special. How about, geez. Man, you got me on this, Bob. A non-cartoon Halloween special.
Ooh, I'm surprised you're not saying Pete and Pete.
Well, that's a TV show. I'm talking about like...
I'm saying. That's a Halloween special.
That Pete and Pete one was classic. The pumpkin heads.
The pumpkin heads,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's lock that in, Bob.
That's fair.
Episode,
I
yeah.
am going to tell you the Boy Meets World Halloween special.
Oh, yeah. The killer in the high school.
The killer in the school one. Yeah, yeah, that episode is classic.
Yeah. The Peter Pete one was cool because they were going for all-time trick-or-treat record where they were...
Yes.
They were trying to beat the record for the most candy or one night, and then they're against this gang of pumpkin heads who try to smash pumpkins on other people's heads. It's great, but I'll have to dig up some more, Bob, but yeah, that's gotta be up there for me.
You know, I feel more and more like a horror media person these days than a paranormal one.
While you're reviewing
and it's not
too.
And it's not intentional. You know, I had this the 31-31-31 challenge, right? And the whole concept behind the 31-31-31 challenge was I'd watch 31 horror films in 31 days with 31 second reviews. That has consumed so much of my time.
Yeah.
I am so like plugged into the horror community, and I feel like I'm unplugging from the paranormal community. But don't worry, guys. My content will always be spooky for those of you guys that are coming here for the paranormal stuff. But you guys have to understand the horror movie genre does kind of intermingle with what we do.
I saw your review, Ernest Scared Stupid. I saw
Yes,
your
what'd you
review,
think?
Laurel and Hardy meet Frankenstein and Dracula. You're
Abbott
reviewing
and
everything now.
Costello. Abbott and Costello meet
Oh, I said, what'd I
Frankenstein.
say? Laurel and Hardy?
Laurel and Hardy.
Abbott and
No, Abbott and
Costello.
Costello meet Frankenstein. We watched Dawn of the Dead, the original. Leprechaun. Today's was
Leprechaun.
Return of the Living Dead. So you guys can find all of my horror movie reviews. Realistically, you could go any of the social medias, but real go to the YouTube. Bob After Dark. 31-31-31 challenge.
Who did Laurel and Hardy meet then if they Abbott and Costello met?
I don't know if they had a horror movie but horror movie movie.
Don't think
I
they
can
met
tell you
anybody.
that Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis did.
Who did they meet?
They just had their own independent little horror movie, and it was called Scared Stiff, but they didn't like have a meetup person like Abbott and Costello.
No.
Heck, Abbott and Costello, geez, this is welcome to horror movie talk, everybody. No, Abbott and Costello back then, that was like their first real big like crossover. And you guys got to understand that that movie legitimately was like the first big, real big team up movie of its day. You had Bela Lugosi come back and reprise his role as Dracula of Family of Years count.
Yeah, bury me in my
You
cape.
had Lon Chaney Jr. came back for his reprisal of the werewolf. We didn't get Boris Karloff as the Frankenstein monster. But however, even after that, Abbott and Costello started meeting all of the horror movie monsters. They met the Invisible Man with Vincent Price voicing the Invisible Man on that one. They met the Mummy. They met the Killer and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
They met everybody, basically.
Yeah, so it was like Scooby-Doo. So like, but anywho, I know that's not what we're here to talk about, but that was one of the ones we talked about, Leprechaun, which if you're going to Leprechaun for fey lore, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
That movie is not like the lore at
Does it
all.
still hold up, Bob? No.
No.
Does it
If
stand
you
the
guys
test of
want,
time?
what's that?
Doesn't stand the test of time?
It does not stand the test of
Oh.
time. Anywho's, guys. So I promise you, one thing that we do is we do paranormal talks. And specifically here on Bob After Dark, we split the show up into two parts. That's where the first one is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual. Anything from like ghost sightings making it into major media, cryptid pictures blowing up online, lights in the sky over Vegas, or advances in science that borderline on science fiction.
Yeah.
Cal Panic is typically not warned ahead of time about these news articles, so we get his raw take with the hashtag panics take. And then we also, we kind of, I have my little soapbox moment. If you guys would like to call in during the live recording, our phone number is 219-845-1100. Are you
Yep.
ready to move on here, Cal?
Well,
So,
yeah.
Bob After Dark this month has been
Well,
talking
wait,
more
before
about
you
le
move on, Bob.
yeah, Cal.
I wanna thank
Oh
one
my goodness, yes, do
yesterday.
your thing.
Thank somebody here. Do you wanna take it?
You could do it.
The Highland Library. We went to Highland,
Yes, Heather
Indiana,
Castle.
a far drive from us, Bob. Highland, Indiana, to talk to some folks there about the paranormal. Glad to thank the people that showed up for it. They might be listening to this right now.
They
We
might be listening to this
plugged the
right now.
show,
Yeah,
so.
I blanked on that. Yeah, a shout out to the Highland Public Library. Count and I were there last night doing a local paranormal talk, and it was pretty popular for a little
Yeah.
library event. And I like the Highland Public Library. I've never been in there before, and it was very quaint.
I didn't tell them I had some expired books, but they didn't
Oh, you
ask
didn't
about
tell them
that, no.
that.
I didn't want them to come after me, but it was a great time yesterday at the library. Visit your local library, right, Bob?
Yes, 100%.
Reading is fundamental.
It is, but there's more than just going on reading at your library, guys. Heck, even if you're in just the paranormal, the Highland Library had, they laid out like 5 to 6 books out
Yeah.
there about local haunts and paranormal studies and stuff, which was pretty interesting.
And
So
yeah, I know our Pete Greist and our friends of NWI Paranormal, they're gonna have a speaking
they're
engagement
going to be there
soon.
on Saturday, the 25th.
Check the website.
That's it. Yep, that's
I think you
correct.
might be right, but check it out just now. But
Yep.
yes, thank you to the
So
library.
welcome aboard all the new listeners from the radio land. But anywho, Count, are you ready to talk about some weird spooky news of the week?
Sure.
All right, so part of Bob After Dark is we talk about legends and not necessarily all the time about, cryptids and ghosts. Sometimes you just talk about a grand adventure or maybe a lost piece of treasure that has some historical value. And one of those things, and because of that, I found this news article, and I'm never going to be able to talk about this normally because you know what it is, what it is. But I have the voice of the platform here, so I'm going to talk about it. This is French treasure hunt to find golden owl comes to an end as prizes unearthed. On the Trail of Golden Owl, a book of riddles published in 1993 contained 11 clues and a hidden 12th one, leading to treasure hunters to search for the long-sought-after prize. This story comes to us from Sky News, so across the pond from us over in jolly old England. A 31-year-old long treasure hunt for a golden owl has come to an end this week after the clues were finally solved. On the Trail of the Golden Owl was a book of riddles published in 1993 by author Regis Hauser and artist Michael Becker. It contained 11 different puzzles and a hidden 12th one to decipher the exact location of an owl token that would be exchanged for a golden equivalent. This week, the hunt came to an end, according to the social media accounts linked to the search. "Don't go digging," said the message from Becker to thousands of followers on his Discord app. "We can confirm that the owl counterpart has been unearthed last night," the message read, unleashing a wave of sad crying emojis. "It is therefore useless to go digging." The book built up a cult-like following with a community more than 200,000 players known as owlers from France and abroad, according to the hunt's official website. Becker previously said he oversaw and financed the creation prize, an owl made of 3-carat gold and 7-carat 7-carat of silver with diamond ships on its face. Hauser, the intellectual architect of the riddles, said that he initially used the pen name Marx Valentine to prevent any of the keenest treasure hunters from seeking him out. He unfortunately died in 2009, the French media reported. Beckenhauser buried a replica of an owl, keeping the original safe. The prize estimated at about 125,000 euros, whatever that would be in American. Fans of the treasure hunt would have speculated. In order to claim the treasure, the winner could not simply find it with a metal detector, but would have to submit the replica along with answers to all the book's riddles. On Discord, members of the hunt channel were quickly to react to the news. The replica may have been unearthed. "It's the end of an era," one wrote. One 30-year-old man told France Interradio he had spent all of his weekends over the past 2 years searching for the owl and had at times found himself digging in the middle of the night. "I'm disappointed because I thought I was close, but at the same time, relieved that it's stopping," he reported. Joe Bartley from Wisstable, Kent, runs the goldenowlhunt.com website and has previously traveled to France with her daughter to search for the prize. "People all over the world have been searching for the treasure for decades," she told Sky News. "It's been an amazing experience for me personally, and I've gained so much knowledge, made so many friends, and dreamt of solving this for so many years. Me and my treasure hunt friends are sad that it's over, but have me huge respect for the winner. It must have been an amazing feeling to unearth this famous owl and win the prize. There's so little opportunity for adventure in modern life, and this treasure hunt has given thousands of people a chance to enjoy real-life quests for fame and fortune." We've included one of the clues below, and I'll link this to the Discord so you guys could check it out. And so yeah, account hashtag panics take.
Yeah, Bob. Nothing like a good treasure hunt, and it looks like everybody had a good time. A lot of people bummed out that it's now over, but you know, Bob, when one treasure hunt ends, another one begins. I mean, there's gotta be a lot of them out there, right? Maps they pass out, shovels going for buried treasure. Have you ever
So,
searched
are
for
you saying that there's a hidden Count Panic treasure out there?
Yes, a lot of cheese curds in a box,
They
basically.
probably won't be very good when you get to them. Maybe it'll
No.
be a recipe for good cheese curds.
No, but it's out there, Bob. Have you ever took part of a taken part of a treasure hunt?
No, I have. I've
Yeah.
done geocaching in the past, which
Oh.
is very similar to treasure hunting. You put in, like, you get the app and then you download like clues to go find it, and it's a little trinket, or you sign a
Oh.
booklet and replace the trinket, you know? So
Oh.
I've done that before, but I never heard of this. And it's kind of rad that it took them 30 years and a whole community still to go at it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that one of the creators was still alive to enjoy it.
Amazing indeed, Bob. Now I know you can't see, but I believe we have a phone call here.
Yeah, take it
So
live, count.
I'll put him on live here. Hello, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Let's keep it simple, Bob. Let's say it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
That's maybe a good answer, John. My mom would agree with you 100%.
He said non-cartoon.
Maybe not exactly that scary, but, you know, a classic.
Well, see, Bob, if you would have said cartoon, I would have chosen the Great Pumpkin.
John can say cartoon if he wants. He puts in the work every week.
All right.
Yeah, and you know what? I always like to watch Sabrina, Sabrina and the Witch or whatever that show was.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Good show.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty good.
TGIF.
But hey, I want to apologize Saturday for mistaking Yeti as the Bigfoot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because you really laid it on me. That,
what?
But you got to remember, when I first seen you Saturday, the sun was shining real bright around, I don't know, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, somewhere around there. When I mistaken Bigfoot as the Yeti, or Yeti as Bigfoot, rather, the sun was going down. I was listening to Nomad's Planet in the beer garden telling me, singing to me, I'm going to put a spell on you. And that's why I probably couldn't see too good, Bob.
What's he talking
really
about,
said,
Bob?
You know, you really chewed me out. You said, didn't I listen to the show and everything? And yeah, I kind of, you know, I was going to head back to that beer garden and just have a few more beers. But, you know, I'm glad I bought a little merchandise from you. And
what John is referring to is I was at Wickedly Whiting over the past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I had a quick little appearance with Pawstar, and John the caller dropped by to come say hi. And this literally at the perfect time, John comes back to visit me with the fam. And this Yeti costume comes like neandering through, you know?
You said it's sassy.
John's like, Bigfoot, come here. This Yeti's not paying attention to him. And I'm like, John, it's a Yeti.
Yeah,
you know, like John, listen to the show every week. You've missed like 2 phone calls since I've been on air.
But forgive me, because like I said, it was a few hours later and a few beers after, you know, and so, you know.
You get a pass, John. That's okay.
Yeah, the thought was there. It was still, it was all good. And, you know, I had a good time. And hope you guys made out well with your merchandise there. And hope you get better with that stomach there, Bob. I hope it figures out what
have a theory of what the problem was today, and it's a lesson learned, to say the least.
Yeah, process of elimination, right?
Exactly. Well, thanks for calling in, John. We appreciate you.
All right, Bob. We'll see you. Take care.
Take care, John. All right, Count, you ready for this next article? What's up?
But to clarify, so the yes. A Yeti is just found in the snow, whereas...
Yeti is in the eastern hemisphere of the world, mostly found in, like, the Himalayas.
But you know what?
In John's defense, I've never done a Yeti episode.
Well, there you go, man.
When it gets a little colder outside, we will do just that.
You know what, though? Tony Schiavone in WCW said the mummy.
The Yeti.
So he confused a mummy for a Yeti. A Yeti, as he called it.
Yes, oh my goodness.
So it's hard to decipher.
The Yeti.
Do an episode on the Yeti.
I will do one, 100%. Okay. I'll see.
The Tony Schiavone wants to come on.
Yes, 100%. Reach out to him.
I will.
Anywho, you ready for the next story?
Yeah.
All right, so cheese dating back to 3,600 years, found in a Chinese tomb, researchers said.
Oh, this is old.
This comes to us once again from Sky News. I saw this story between you and the Queen of the Night. I could not say no to do this story.
Wow.
All right, so a 36-year-old coffin was opened in the Xiaohe, so Xiaohe cemetery in Zhejiang, China, during an excavation in 2003. Now, 21 years later, a team found a substance identified as kefir cheese. So this was a 3,600-year-old coffin, as I was saying, and despite seeming like a piece of jewelry at the time, scientists have now identified the sample as being the oldest piece of cheese in the world. I am going to pronounce this paleontologist's name wrong, and I apologize, but it's Kiaomi Fu, Q-I-A-O-M-E-I-F-U, a paleontologist at the Science Academy of Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing, told Sky Partner Network NBC News, Regular cheese is soft. This is not. It is how it's become really dry, dense, and hard dust. She explained when the woman's coffin was exhumed, it was found to have her preserved because of the Tarim Basin Desert's dry climate. While the production of cheese has been long depicted in history, the researchers wrote in a study published in the journal Cell that this history of fermented dairy is largely lost in antiquity. Speaking to NBC News, Ms. Fu said that she and her team took samples from three tombs in that cemetery and processed to DNA to trace evolution of the bacteria across tens of thousands of years. The samples were identified as kefir cheese made by fermenting milk using kefir grains, and there was also evidence of a goat and cow's milk being used. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, how about that, Bob? Talking about old cheese, moldy cheese possibly there. Bob, definitely do not eat that cheese. Your stomach will go crazy if you have a bite of that. But Bob, how long is really a shelf life of a piece of cheese? They say not to eat a past a certain
day. It sounds like this. I don't know. Would you eat the 1,000-year-old cheese that was just found in an Egyptian sarcophagus?
Well, what? It might be cursed. So it's
That is exactly what I'm getting at.
And cursed.
You
cheese.
Know, if somebody buried me with cheese, right? And you guys know me. My favorite either be baby Swiss or mozzarella. So let's say you buried me with the sacred mozzarella or baby Swiss, right?
Yeah.
And y'all try to come rob that for me. I am going to put the biggest curse on you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
That is the worst kind of grave robbing. You're grave robbing cheese, man.
As much as I love cheese, I think I'll let the cheese rest where it's at currently. No need for me to. There's plenty of other cheeses to eat around here. I don't have to have that specific cheese. We'll just let it rest.
All right, Count, you ready to continue?
Yeah.
All right, I got one more news story for us. And that is from the APSciencenews.com, and that is Earth will temporarily have a mini moon for 2 months. Yeah. This was written by Christina Larson. This is written in Washington. Earth's moon will soon have company, and I quote, mini moon. Yeah. The mini moon is actually an asteroid about the size of a school bus at 33 feet, and when it whizzes by Earth on the upcoming Sunday, it will be temporarily trapped by our planet's gravity in the orbit of the globe, but only for about 2 months. The space rock, or it's known as 2024 PT5, was first spotted in August by astronomers at the Complutense University of Madrid using a powerful telescope located in Sutherland, South Africa. The short-lived mini-moons are likely more common than we realize, said Richard Binzel, an astronomer at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The last one was detected was in 2020. Sorry, folks. This happens with some frequency, but we rarely see them because they're small and very hard to detect. Only recently has our survey capability reached a point of spotting them routinely. The discovery made by Carlos de la Fuente Marcos and Raul de la Fuente Marcos was published by an American Astronomical Society. This one won't be visible to the naked eye or through amateur telescopes, but it can be observed with a relatively large research-grade telescope, said Carlos. Binzel, who was not involved in the research, said it's not clear whether the space rock originated as an asteroid or a chunk of moon that got blasted out. The mini moon will circle the globe around 57 days, but won't complete a full orbit. On November 25th, it is predicted that it will part ways and continue its slow trajectory through the cosmos. And then the next one will be in 2055. Well, this specific one. So hashtag panics take.
Yeah, Bob. I mean, a bunch of mini moons coming together. Maybe they could form one big moon, but we got to maybe contact our friends at the Challenger Learning Center, what the science is and all that. But
you want to hit them up for us next week for next week and see if they have a quote on this?
A lot of people do want to hop on here, Bob. I'm getting word, even as we mentioned earlier, Chuck might want to be doing a Halloween thing here soon. But yeah, they would know more. Well, you know, Chuck knows about space, but he knows about NASA. We don't want to get into NASA.
Not Chuck's views on NASA. I love Chuck. I love Chuck. Just
we can't
not on
have
Bob
talk after about NASA.
Yeah. No, but I'm interested to see. Can you give them a holler? Just see if they'll even just give you a quick quote about it.
Quick rundown, maybe. Yeah.
Should we be worried about it coming crashing to Earth? They're not saying it in the AP news, but you never know.
Bob.
Well, anywho, Count, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, fans, live fans, stick around. We'll be right back into our podcast. Fans, stay tuned because you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Yes, hello, this is Dan Housen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark.
Eerie Travel.
Subscribe or be cursed.
We discuss all things strange and unusual.
We discuss everything from Bigfoot to UFOs.
From Mothman to haunted locations.
From hidden history to legendary beasts.
From Cocaine Bear to the Jersey Devil.
From Holler Monsters to conspiracy theory.
We interview amazing guests that are actual investigators into the things that many believe to only be in the world of the imagination.
We also get into verbal debates about which monsters would win in a fight.
If any of this sounds interesting to you, then join us twice a week on your favorite podcast platform.
So look for Eerie Travels, and we'll see you on the other side.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
Bob, during the break, I ate the freshest piece of cheese I could find. Not the oldest piece of cheese, but the freshest piece of cheese.
Here I am. I went and I found the second oldest piece of cheese on the earth.
Wow.
And I ate it.
Where is the second piece located at, the second oldest
piece? The Netherlands.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Well, who knew?
Yeah, it was there, and I ate it on a Ritz cracker.
Wow. Is it an old Ritz cracker or a new Ritz cracker?
No, I had a modern Ritz cracker
with it. So a little bit of best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds. Yeah. It was Netherlands cheese.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad.
I'll have to try it.
All right, Count, you ready to dive into the lore of the week?
Yes, let's do it.
Yes, it was a funny way you said that.
That's going to be my catchphrase. Let's do it.
Let's do it. It's only taken you 5 years. Anywho, so last week on the Lore of the Week, I know we had a very busy episode, but we did manage to fit the Lore of the Week in. And the lore, what we're going to be doing all throughout the month of October, is we're covering the legend side of Bob After Dark, and we're covering the concept of a fairy tale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Specifically those that are written by the Grimm brothers, because the original versions of these fairy tales when they were first written were incredibly dark, visceral, scary. So this month we're taking a look at the scary side of the fairy tales that we never got here in America. I do pride myself on being an all family friendly show. I understand that this topic might be a little pushy for some little ones. And if that's the case, total listener discretion advised. And, you know, guys, I'm not going to be, in case you are familiar with the Grimm's brothers, there's a lot of their stories that involve incredibly bad things, if you catch my drift. And I promise you, we will not cover any of that. If you could read between the lines, I'm not going to mention it, but you know, crimes like murder and monster hunting, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Those are okay. But the other kind of crimes, we're not talking about. And so we're comparing that to the American side of what we got here. Talk about the differences and see if we can figure out why they wrote what they wrote. So you ready to dive in, Count?
Yeah.
All right. So last week we read about Hansel and Gretel. And what did you learn from where we were in the back in the day to compare to where we are now?
Yeah, Bob. You know, as a kid, they just tell you it's about a couple of kids getting lost. They want food. They're eating a house. The witch invites them in. But it's not that crazy, not that dark. But from last week's episode, it seems like there's a lot more that goes into the fairy.
Well, do you remember what the lore was on that? Like this, the original story, how the mother was trying to throw them out in the woods so she didn't have to feed them.
But they don't tell you that in the fairy.
They don't tell you that in the original story. No. So, anywho, tonight.
They don't at all.
Tonight, yes, tonight we are talking about Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh.
Or as the original Grimm brothers called her, Little Red Cap. Huh. All right, you ready?
Yeah, it's classic.
So I'm going to be reading the original. This is the original first printing of the first poem or, you know, fairy tale of this. The Pittsburgh University or Pitt EDU has the entire, like, all of their works combined. So that's where I'm reading it from. Once upon a time, there was a sweet little girl. Everyone who saw her liked her, but most of all her grandmother, who did not know what to give the child next. Once she gave her a little cap made of red velvet because it suited her well and she wanted to wear it all the time. She came to be known as Little Red Cap. One day, her mother said to her, "Come, Little Red Cap, here is a piece of cake and a bottle of wine. Take them to your grandmother. She is sick and weak, and they will do her well." Cake and wine, Count Panic. That's the medicine right there.
That's going to spruce up anybody, yes.
"Mind your manners and give her my greetings. Behave yourself, and on the way, do not leave the path, or you might fall down and break the glass, and there will be nothing for your grandmother. And when you enter her parlor, don't forget to say good morning, and don't peer into what all the corners first." "I'll do everything just right," said Little Red Cap, shaking her mother's hand. The grandmother lived out in the woods, a half hour from the village. When Little Red Cap entered the woods, a wolf came up to her. She did not know what a wicked animal he was, and he was not afraid of him. "Good day to you, Little Red Cap." "Thank you, wolf," she replied. "Where are you going so early, Little Red Cap?" Which is a total red flag because this wolf knew her name. "To grandmother's. And what are you carrying there under your apron?" "Grandmother's really sick and weak, so I'm going to go bring her some cake and wine. We baked yesterday and should be good enough to give her strength." "Little Red Cap, just where does your grandmother live?" "Red flag. Her house is a quarter hour from here in the woods under a large oak tree. There's a large hedge of hazel bushes there. You might know the place," said Little Red Cap. "Way too trusting, Count." The wolf thought to himself, now that sweet young thing is tasty bite for me. She will taste even better than the old woman I just ate. "You must be sly. You can catch them both," he said.
So we ate grandma?
He walked along a little while with Little Red Cap. Then he said, "Little Red Cap, just look at the beautiful flowers. They're all around us. Why don't you go take a look? And I won't believe you can hear how beautifully the birds are singing. You walking along, though, you were on your way to school, and it was a very beautiful in the woods." Little Red Cap opened her eyes, and when she saw the sunbeams dancing to and fro in the trees and how the ground was covered with the flowers beneath them, she thought, "If it takes a fresh bouquet to grandmother, she will be very pleased. Anyway, it is still early. I'll be home on time." She ran off the path into the woods looking for flowers, and each time she picked one, she thought that she could see an even more beautiful one along the way. And then she ran after it, going further and further in the woods. But the wolf ran straight to grandmother's house and knocked on the door. "Who's there?" "A Little Red Cap. I'm bringing you some cake and wine. Open the door." So he just said that, I'm assuming, in his best voice to mimic Little Red, Little Red Cap. "Just press the latch," called out the grandmother. "I'm too weak to get up." The wolf pressed the latch and the door opened. He stepped inside, went straight to grandmother's bed, and ate her up. He then put on her clothes, put the cap on his head, and got into her bed and pulled the curtains shut. Little Red Cap had run after the flowers after she gathered so many that she could carry anymore. She remembered her grandmother and then continued on her way home. She found, to her surprise, that the door was open, and she walked into the parlor and everything looked so strange, and she thought, "Oh my, why am I so afraid? I usually like it at my grandmother's." And she called out, "Good morning," but received no answer. Then she went to the bed and pulled back the curtains. Grandmother was lying there and her cap pulled down over her face, looking very strange. "Oh, grandmother, what big ears you have. All the better to hear you with. Oh, grandmother, what big eyes you have. All the better to see you with. Oh, grandmother, what big hands you have. All the better to grab you with. Oh, grandmother, what a horrible big mouth you have. All the better to eat you with."
Bob.
The wolf had scared. What's up?
Keep it right. Well, continue on. But the caller, I saw the phone flash and then hung up. If you just called in, call back. We'll get you on. But Bob, this so far, my analysis of the story is this wolf is far more
vicious
than what you were taught in grade school.
Yes. Yeah. The wolf had scarcely finished speaking when he jumped from the bed with a single leap and ate Little Red Cap. And as soon as the wolf satisfied his desires, he climbed back into the bed, fell asleep, and began to snore very loudly. So he ate Little Red Cap, man.
He ate.
He ate her.
That's it.
A huntsman was just, but it's not the end. Okay. A huntsman was just passing by. He thought, the old woman is snoring so loudly. You better see if anything's wrong with her. So we're assuming that the huntsman in the woods knew Grandma Befriar. He stepped inside the parlor, and when he approached the bed, he saw a wolf lying there. So here I find you, old sinner, he said. I have been hunting you for a long time. He was about to aim his rifle when it occurred to him that the wolf might have eaten the grandmother, and that she might still be rescued. So instead of shooting, he took a pair of scissors, cut open the wolf's belly, and after a few cuts, he saw the red cap shining through. Oh. And after a few more cuts, the girl jumped out crying, oh, I was so frightened, it was dark inside that wolf's body. And then the grandmother came out as well, alive, but barely able to breathe.
Well.
Little Red Cap fetched some large stones. She filled the wolf's body with them, and when he woke up to try to run away, the stones were so heavy, and he immediately fell down dead. The three of them were happy. The huntsman left the house with a pelt. The grandmother ate the cake and drank the wine that Little Red Cap brought her, and Little Red Cap thought, as long as I live, I will never leave the path and run into the woods by myself if my mother tells me not to.
Some lessons learned here, Bob. We do have a phone call, though, if you want to check it out.
I'll take it up. Yeah, right. We got a caller.
Do it live?
Yeah, take it live.
Do it live. Hello, caller.
Good evening.
No.
Bob, what is this? Oh, you're going to count the... Gonna go into hysterics. Bob's going into hysterics.
Oh my goodness. Oh, good to speak to you again, Bob. Very good indeed.
Bob's gonna take a couple of minutes to
Count Dracula, how are you doing, buddy?
Oh, did you get my message?
Oh, I got your birthday message. Yes, it was a good message.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I do Thank have you. A little bit of a singing voice.
Dracula, how are you doing? Are you having a good Halloween season?
Oh, Halloween season is upon us, and it's wonderful. Even though I've already decorated everything like 500 years ago.
Drac, you know, you call in and you usually spread some wisdom upon us as some humor. Do you got some humor to lay on us this evening?
Well, just like last time, not only do I have a story, but also another top 10 list.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. We're all about it. I'm here for it, Count.
Yes, it's going to be very, very funny and very, very good and very scary. Whichever you prefer.
I'm here for it.
All right, here we go. It's not very long, but here's my story. One day, a little girl walked up to his father and said, guess how old I'm going to be this month? Her father said, I don't know, honey, how old? She smiled and held up four fingers. This much, she says. 8 hours later, she still won't tell them where she got the four fingers.
It took a second beat there, Bob.
You have to think about this for a while.
You also promised a top 10 list before we let you go. You got
Oh, yes, of
that.
Course, of course. Yes, yes. This time is the top 10 ways to tell you may be possessed.
Oh, this is good, helpful hint and tips, everybody. Bust out your pen yes. and paper.
Yes, yes. Ready. Number 10. Your voice sounds more and more like Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh,
number 9.
Okay.
You start to claim the movie Biodome changed your life.
Well, I think Bob
I might be possessed.
Yes.
Number 8. Your reflection rolls its eyes at you. Number 7. You have developed a fondness for candy corn and black licorice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Number 6. The monster living under your bed moved out. Number 5. You start insisting your belly button is a portal to the underworld. Number 4. You put mayonnaise on everything. Number three, you keep trying to turn everything into a demonic sacrifice, including the contents of your fridge. Number two, you eat burritos starting from the middle. And the number one way to tell you may be possessed, your favorite way to start a conversation is, so, how do you feel about exorcisms?
Hey, that's a great Count
Dracula. Count Dracula, thank you so much for that wisdom.
You're and very,
hope
very
you
welcome.
Have a happy Halloween.
You as well. Good evening.
Take care. I mean, Rob, that's very rare. Very rare. My cape is falling off here. It's stuck in a wheel. I'm going to just take it off. But, Bob, how rare is it that we have a call from Dracula in a 1 month span? We are truly blessed this Halloween, I feel like. Maybe, hopefully, he comes calls back again very soon, but always a treat when Dracula calls him. Bob is still in hysterics.
I that man calling me makes me the happiest person.
Dracula.
Thanks, Count Dracula.
He's the one we all aspire to be like.
100%. So, Count Panic.
Yeah.
We learned that the wolf ate both the grandmother and Little Red Hood, or in this case, Little Red Cap, right?
Yeah, Little
Red Cap. A huntsman kills the wolf, and it's a bit rough around the edges, don't you think?
It is a little rough. I mean, I don't remember, again, correct me, it's been a while, but they have, in the story we're told as kids, he never eats Little Red Riding Hood, right? Or
yes.
Am I forgetting that part?
I don't remember how it ended in the American version, but it wasn't that.
Eight?
I could not tell you what the original fairy tale ended with. I could tell you that it didn't end that way.
No. Well,
no. <it did. laughs> Anyway, so those are some of the big differences. And you look at why Little Red Riding Hood was wrote, you know, back in the day, you had the deep woods and the Brothers Grimm grew up in Germany, which the Germanic people had some deep forests that were around them.
Yeah.
And when you're staring in deep, dark woods, those typically have a tendency of being a little bit more scary.
A little bit, just a tad.
Just a tad bit more scary than normal. So, you know, the reason why they would say, you know, a tale like this is to keep these kids out, and they might as well just make it completely, you know, scary, like I just told you.
Yeah.
But I want to point out that something interesting I thought about the lore when it comes to Little Red Riding Hood is the concept of, a werewolf.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this story, we don't have the werewolf or the wolf creature actually turn human, so we can't use the term werewolf, right? Mm-hmm. So where does this concept of an anthropomorphic wolf come from? You know, there's stories of dogmen dating back thousands of years, and heck, we even have stories of Odin being one of the first people in fiction who has been able to transform into a wolf.
Hmm. But the wolf itself, I mean, yeah, because this wolf is not a werewolf in the story. It's just a wolf.
It's just an anthropomorphic wolf, yes.
Like a dog man, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm getting at, is it's an interesting type of character trope to pick out, you know?
Yeah. Well, regardless, a wolf or a wolf on its hind legs that's talking to you, both equally terrifying. I think the talking wolf is a little more scary than just a regular wolf, but that's beside the point.
We are overdue for a Dogman episode. I will give you guys the quick rundown of what this is.
Before you do, what's Bob, that? You want to take a phone call?
Yeah, we have another phone call. Is Count Dracula calling back?
Trifecta of our favorite phone caller.
Did you just hang up on our caller?
Nah, it was a dial tone when I answered it.
Okay.
Call
Anywho,
back.
So the concept of a Dogman is a weird cryptid-esque creature spotted in the Midwest, really popular in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yeah.
And the Dogman, in really quick summarized, is think of a werewolf without the transformation. Incredibly fast, incredibly strong, and attacks with intelligence.
May you try again here, Bob.
Yeah, we have another caller.
Let's try
it live.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, good evening, Bob and Count. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Bill, how's it
going? Doing well, Bill. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. I'm glad, Bob, I'm glad to see you're being, you know, you're okay for now.
I'm doing good. It's, you know, after gallbladder surgery, they tell you gotta, you know, it's trial and error what you can eat and what you can't. And today I learned there are certain things that I probably cannot eat. So I'm good. I'll be all right.
Okay. That's good. Because a couple of weeks ago, that wasn't a bad case. I think I had that cheese. I had a piece of that cheese there. I don't know. I had a bad piece of cheese or something.
You had a bad piece of cheese, Bill?
But it cleared up. I was going to say I'm enjoying the show, and the writer her writing could didn't the hunter kill the wolf at the end?
Oh.
So in the original story he did kill the wolf, but in the original story both of the grandmother and Little Red Riding Hood did not get bothly eaten, did they?
No, they didn't.
No, okay, so that story goes that the huntsman did kill the wolf then, but the wolf did not eat the grandmother and Little Red Riding Hood.
No, that's not the way I heard it. I mean, you know, the way you were explaining it, I heard the originals growing up and so forth, and
right.
And it's nice. I mean, if it wasn't as, grim, well, that's a little pun there, but, you know, as the story goes. But, I've heard it that way, so, hey.
Well, thanks for calling in, Bill. We really appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, listen, happy Halloween to you guys. And
Oh, thank you.
I'll listen to you, or hopefully I'll call in next week.
Sounds good, Bill. We'll hopefully hear from you next
week.
Don't
eat any bad cheese.
Don't eat any bad cheese, Bill, especially not 2,000-year-old bad cheese.
I'm not seeing where I bought it from, but it was about a half a piece of cheese. So, but that's done. Okay, you guys take care, and God bless you both.
Thanks, Bill. We appreciate
it. Nothing worse, Bob, than a bad piece of cheese.
No. So, in essence, a dog man, story, big popular cryptid story out of Michigan and Wisconsin specifically, but there are stories all over the country. But the big sightings are up there. I wanted to do an episode specifically about the dog man with Linda Gottfried, who wrote the book on the dog man with the Beast of Bray Road. Paranormal investigator and paranormal researcher, the greatest in our field. She unfortunately passed away last year, 2 years ago. I can't remember how that goes. And I've been putting it off since, because it's been a hard topic. You know, Linda was one of my heroes in that respect. And here I am finally at a close of a dog man story. So Dr. Ben Vanderson is going to come on that episode when we do that one, because he is the second leading expert in the dog man case behind Linda. So we'll have him on for that one, and it's going to be a really good episode.
Yeah, that would be good. We need a dog man, the history of a dog man.
Absolutely. So that's the story of the little red cap. The story we have originally is that the wolf ate both the grandmother and the little girl. And here, when we got it brought to us on the West End side of the world here in America, oh, it wasn't that scary.
Yeah. No, well, when we get it here, I mean, again, I don't remember. Now I got a text in from Chuck, who says his wife, Amy, says she remembers in the original fairy tale that Little Red Riding Hood was consumed by the wolf.
So that would have been the original Grimm's tale.
Yeah, but what was, yeah, because I don't, again, when you're reading a bedtime story to a kid,
I guess it just depends on what printing you're reading. But, like, man, I could tell you when I was a kid that I do not remember the wolf eating both of them. He might have eaten the grandmother, but I've never heard of a version where he ate both. And then here comes the huntman cutting them open and then stuffing rocks inside of them, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
So that's what I'm getting at. And I'm kudos to Chuck's wife, Amy, for knowing the true story, man. I appreciate that.
It gives us a history lesson.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. Thanks for texting in, Chuck and Amy. You guys are great people, and we appreciate the help you guys gave us this evening.
Appreciate it. Fairy tale Absolutely. Backup knowledge.
Exactly. So, Count, that's all I have for us this evening. What do you have to say for closing words?
Bob, I want to say, everybody, stay safe out there, especially people in Florida right now. I know people in Florida.
Sure I do too. My aunt is down there with my cousins. They listen every
Hurricane
week.
Hurricane Milton's going to be here in about 24 hours or so. So again, our thoughts and prayers with everybody out there.
Of course. And that's a part of what I did want to close with tonight is my thoughts are with everybody in Florida right now. Milton's coming and it's coming scary. So just be safe, everybody. And we'll be thinking about you guys.
Yeah, we'll be thinking about you.
Absolutely. All right, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I know this one was a little bit unconventional, but we're all good. I just want to say sweet dreams to my mom and to Tiff. I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. And to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, big guy, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who under are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Oh, now, Bob, for this, wait for the theme song, everybody, because I got to minimize Bob and then put the theme song on. So, Bob, you are clear. No, you're good to go. I'm going to minimize you here. And then with
are you
guys
setting that over to me to know? Oh.
Wait, hold on, Bob. You're still talking on the air. Here.
Sorry.
Don't
sorry,
cuss
folks.
Or anything like that.
No, I will not.
Full screen you.
Count, are you going to send me those ancient tomes of magical power?
I will send you that, Bob. Here we go. Here's the end theme. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.